The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure, high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online, on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
Mitch, I love, you're so right. And one of the stories I have in the book there is that Janelle and I have a three-day rule. Now, all the blokes who are listening to this will love this rule because it's for us.
It's a good rule, yeah.
All right? Because the rule is, because, you know, women, I'll tell you, no disrespect, ladies, but you can remember stuff from a year ago.
Oh, my God. Yeah. A year ago? How about 10 years ago?
How can I argue against that? Because I can't even remember from 3 days ago.
So me neither.
Janelle and I have a rule.
Yeah.
If you need to bring something up, some issue, you must bring it up within 3 days.
That's a good rule.
Otherwise, it's forever gotten. You can never bring it up again.
It's all ashes after that.
Yes.
Yes. I love that rule.
Sometimes Janelle may say to me, Pete, you've annoyed me that much. Give me 2 hours before I can even talk to you.
Okay.
I know that I'm really in the doghouse. But we get stuff sorted within 3 days.
That's a very good rule. I mean, my wife's the same and our friends are the same. They could bring up things from 5 years ago and it's like it's happening to them right now. They're so upset. And you don't even remember what color underwear you put on Monday. And you're just trying to make it up as you go. What do? You can't even disagree. Yeah. You have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, well, if I did, I apologize. You know, I usually apologize at the beginning.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit BeinhackerLaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hey, hi to you, Pete O'Keefe. I'm sitting in London at the stage, but I'm actually a Kiwi, all right? That's a New Zealander. I'm a corporate leadership specialist. I've been helping and mentoring business owners for the last 21 years to help them have a profitable business that means they don't have to be there all the time. And that's about systemizing your business. So if you'd like to have a profitable business that doesn't mean you have to be there all the time so you can do some traveling, then I suggest listen a little bit longer.
All right, Pete, so I'm glad for you to come on the podcast. I did apologize. I missed our networking group earlier. But I love your book. I mean, I love the whole story behind it, but we're going to get into the back first because I want to hear about your background and growing up because you
live down the other side of the world. Hey, Mitch, can I just say it's a pleasure and a privilege to be here. Thank you very much for chatting with me.
I appreciate it. Not a lot of people say that, so I appreciate that. It's very nice. Well, where do you want to start? You want to start about your background? And because I know you've been through a lot, you've owned businesses, life changes, you lived around the world, one side of the world, now you're on the other side of the world, doing all kinds of stuff. Can we start that and hear about your history and your background?
Okay. Let's start with the history, Mitch. I have stuffed it up. All right. Not many people are going to say that right from the start. But I'll tell you what, I've stuffed up my marriage. I've stuffed up my businesses. And that's the reason why I've actually written a book on. In fact, the book is, as you've read it yourself, Family Matters, So Does Business.
Just out, the right? It's just available on Amazon.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Around the world. In fact, it's just got to number one status as a bestseller in the UK here. So obviously people think I've got something important to say and they're reading it. But what it is, Mitch, because so many people will tell you just how good they're doing and how well business is going. All right. That's not what happens in life.
Right.
You know, you're a lawyer. You're a successful lawyer. You know the crap that people go through.
I've been through crap. You know, nobody wants to tell you the truth.
So this is a warts and all of the things that I have done badly, but how I've learned from them and how I've actually achieved to come back from the brink to have some really successful businesses.
Okay, so let's go back to before you stuffed it up and how you got to stuffing it up.
Oh, God, we're going way back, aren't we?
Yeah.
So the thing is that, you know, when we're young, Mitch, we have quite a bit of arrogance.
That's for sure.
But arrogance actually comes with ignorance. And I was ignorant, thinking that, you know, I knew it all and I was going to do really well.
Yeah. That's our biggest flaw, I think, as human beings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is that Janelle and I, we've got 6 children. All right. Now, the thing is, I want to tell you what they're doing. I'm not trying to show off, even though I'm proud of them, but we've given them the same opportunities as what I'm doing with my clients now. So, for example, Ben, my eldest, is a doctor of ophthalmology, but an international rugby referee. So he went to the Rugby World Cup last year in Japan. Michael, our next son, was an Olympian at the 2012 Olympics. Claire, my daughter, is an international dancer in Irish and in Highland. Louisa also had a scholarship, like Michael did, to a university in the United States there, and she had a rowing scholarship and is now an industrial engineer.
Okay.
Scott's a
rowing is crew, right? The long crew, right?
Yeah. Okay. So Michael was at Connecticut University, Fairfield in Connecticut, and Louisa saw how well he was doing. Oh, I want a bit of that, Dad. So we nutted out a plan, and she went and did it.
Okay.
Scott is in the New Zealand Special Forces Army. We've got no idea where in the world he is, which is
he can't tell you.
A good thing,
right?
And Callum, our youngest, is doing a PhD in virology at Victoria University in Wellington. So as you can see, the kids have my height, but all the really good stuff comes from their mother. So they're really lucky.
Right. They're a real bunch of underachievers.
So what I'm saying there is, okay, I'm really proud of them, but, you know, they've made mistakes along the way. And when I'm talking to them, I say, all righty, so there's been a mistake. Is it going to be a mistake or is it going to be a learning?
Yeah.
And if they learn from it, then they don't make the same mistake again.
Well, isn't that really your mindset? Like, people look at things as failure, or they look at things like, well, I learned how not to do something. I mean, it's a growth opportunity, right? So it really depends on what's in your mind, how you look at it, or your children look at it, right?
Mitch, I love the way you're talking there, because not too many people think like that, sir.
I've interviewed a lot.
Because it's about your top 2 inches, and it's your the subconscious, putting the good stuff. Because so often, oh, here's an example for you. Those people that say, oh, I'm always late. And they blink and well are, because they put into their subconscious, I'm going to be late.
They've convinced themselves that they're always going to be late.
You've got it.
Right.
And I'll tell you, we have the 7 fundamental laws of business that we teach, besides our leadership. But mindset is the very first one. Because when you sort your mindset out, then the rest of the business is going to flow.
Right. Yeah.
So if you're going to put crap in here, all right, your subconscious is going to go to work to make it happen.
Of course. Right.
If you put the good stuff in there, it's amazing how well you will achieve.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is anybody I've spoken to, I've spoken to habit scientists, I've spoken to all kinds of coaches, all kinds of marketing people. It all comes down to, like you said, your not self-consciousness, because when you're self-conscious, you have self-awareness. It's self-awareness. It's like you said, you know, stepping away from things and realizing that it's an opportunity to learn. Some people, you know, they don't fear failure. It's part of the process. You're going to fail, right? Aren't we all going to fail? We just don't know what it's going to be at.
Yeah. or how big the failure is going
to
be.
Right, or how big it's going to be to try to mitigate that. But a lot of times, if you don't fail and you're really successful, at some point you're going to hit a brick wall because you're not prepared for adversity. Some people
and
get
that comes down to resilience then.
Right.
How are you resilient enough to climb out of the pothole that you've fallen into, dust yourself off, and then walk on, carry on down
the journey? This whole pandemic thing, I mean, you've really seen people that are, you know, the resilient ones just rose right to the top. They, you know, we're going to grab this thing by the horns and we're going to go with it. Other people just went into hiding, freaking out.
I love that. And I'll tell you what, I'm having a lot of courageous conversations with people, with business owners. And by that, I mean, I'm actually calling out their crap because they're saying, oh, it's not going very well. And I'm suggesting to them, it's actually going really well, but you, sir, or you, ma'am, are choosing not to accept the opportunities that are out there. So actually get rid of the crap in your head and go and look for the opportunities and don't give me this crap you're giving me.
Yeah, I like that.
And some people don't like that, Mitch.
No. No, they don't. Well, because they're not ready. I don't know. They won't accept it. Maybe they're afraid.
They want someone else to do it for them, sir.
Yeah, there's a lot of people like that. It's unfortunate. Yeah. Jillian talks about resilience all the time because she sees these people and the people that are surviving. Some people are thriving, like you said, in the pandemic. Yeah.
Well, you know, I've chatted with you a couple of times. You're obviously a really, really good operator and you're seeing the opportunities. So you would have difficulty seeing people who have got a scarcity mentality because you're thinking, hang on, there's real opportunities out there that I can see. How come you're not seeing it?
Right, right. Well, look, I changed the whole way that I run my practice because, you know, before, what does a local attorney do? Even in England, even in New Zealand, you hit the streets, you meet the local people, you know, everybody knows you in the community. Then you're locked in your house. So how are you going to interact? So then I started connecting with people all over the world. That's how we met.
Brilliant.
But I changed, I shifted, what's the word? I shifted my paradigm as to how I looked at the world. Now the world's a lot bigger than I thought it was.
And I think what you've also done is like, you know, the worst place we can be is in our comfort zone. And so many people want to stay there. We've actually got to widen the comfort zone, not get to the stress level, which is too high,
right,
but just to push that stress level slightly out of our comfort zone.
Or you don't grow.
We grow.
Right.
And then we can grow a little bit more.
Yeah.
And the comfort zone actually widens out. Whereas, you know, now, as you're seeing, because you've been doing that for so long, Mitch, for the last year or so, your comfort zone has widened right out. Whereas last year would have been your stress zone.
Right.
Now it's your comfort zone because you get used to it.
You get more comfortable with it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like your first time of doing anything. You should just accept it's going to be a bad experience. Like you come out of law school, you go to court the first time, you're going to wet the bed right in front of the judge. I mean, you're going to, you know, because you've never done it before. You don't know. You're nervous. You don't know what the judge is going to think of you, the other attorney. You don't remember the rules. You don't remember what to say. But if you kind of had a different mindset about it, like you said, might go a little bit better. Won't be perfect. It's your first time in court still.
Let me tell you a funny story. As you know, I used to be a policeman back in New Zealand.
Right.
And my very first court case, I had to give evidence on three cases in the same day.
Testimony, and like in court?
In court, in front of the judge and the jury. All right. And I'll tell you, I was absolutely crapping myself. You know, new policeman there, three cases, trying to remember everything. Got through the first one all right. Went to the second one, and I started to give the same evidence that I'd done in the first case.
Because you couldn't remember that it was different.
Yeah. The judge stopped me, and he said, excuse me, Constable, I think we've already heard this evidence, and I think we've convicted this this person. Are you trying to get another conviction and not increase the sentence?
At least he had humor about it, right?
Judge.
Yeah.
And he said to me, look, just relax. I actually don't want you to try and remember verbatim, all right, but remember in your head what actually happened out there so we can actually get to the truth. And he was so good, Mitch, that I then relaxed after that and gave the evidence. And he commended me in the end. But that's one of my stuff-ups.
Okay. So and you spent most of your career in New Zealand, right? Is that where you met Janelle and –
Yeah. Okay. So the reason we're in England is that, as you may be aware, coming from New Zealand to even the United States is a 12 to 14 hour plane trip. Going to London is a 30 hour plane trip.
Yeah.
Now, Janelle and I love traveling. So one day we thought, instead of doing this traveling from New Zealand all the time, let's go and base ourselves in England, because if we put a pin in the map where we are, 3 hours gets us all through Europe, down into Africa as well, whereas a pin in New Zealand, 3 hours, gets us just to the east coast of Australia and some of the islands above New Zealand. Apart from that, there's a huge amount of ocean to fall into.
Yeah, you guys are really separate down there.
Yeah.
So what were you doing at the time when you moved to London? Because not everybody, I'm reading that book, Marianne Cantwell, Be a Free Range Human. Like, not everybody can just pick up and move to the other side. You basically moved to the other side of the world is what you did. So how were you able to do that?
We were. And again, that just comes down to the what ifs. Janelle and I have never in our life wanted to look back and say, oh, what if we'd done this?
Right.
It's easier to try something and it doesn't work out than to not try something and then always wonder, oh, what if we tried it?
Right, but you were no longer a police officer at that point?
Oh, no, I'd moved away from that. I'd been running my own businesses for 15 years at that stage.
Right, but they were the kind of business you could move? You could be anywhere? Okay.
Yeah, we had been coaching and mentoring businesses, business owners. Okay. I'd also been running a financial business enterprise plus insurance in New Zealand as well. So we were able to move. But I'll tell you, Mitch, here's the classic. All right, I thought moving to England, being another first world country, would have been quite easy.
Yeah.
It was really, really difficult.
Really?
Oh, it is probably the hardest thing I've done in my life, moving.
What was so hard about it?
Well, that's really interesting. Like, the culture is different. Even though we speak English,
yeah,
we're first world, just trying to integrate into the English way, and we had to integrate because it was their country.
Right.
All right. But the way they do things, just the way, like, you can tell I'm quite gregarious, believe it or not. The English are very conservative. So I've had to dial myself down. And I think that's why I get on so well with the Americans, because you guys are very similar to we Kiwis. You want to get out there.
Yeah, exactly.
And do stuff.
Make it happen.
Yeah, the English aren't quite. And it's no disrespect to the English, because let's face it, they've won a couple of world wars as an island, so they're doing pretty well, eh?
Yeah, well, you know, it used to be the sun didn't set on the British Empire. That's not the truth anymore. So
yes,
the monarchy's going to, you know, that might change in the next 50 or 100 years.
So I was 53 when we upped country and left. And I think, you know, talking about resilience before, when you're in your 20s or 30s, it's a lot easier to move.
It is.
But I'll tell you what, at 53, I found it pretty difficult.
Yeah, I'm 54. I think it would be difficult for me too. I mean, it's funny. We were talking recently.
Look 47.
I appreciate that. But I was talking to my wife the other day. I forget what it was about. One of us said, like, if we run the lottery, like, where would we go? We could go anywhere in the world. New Zealand came up. My wife's like, we should go to New Zealand. I'm like, why did you pick New Zealand? Just seems like a nice place to live. You know, it's not too crowded. A lot of land, beautiful countryside. I think the weather's kind of right. Your weather's pretty moderate.
Mm.
You know, she likes kiwis. It's a good fruit, you know. So
here's something for you, a little bit of knowledge. New Zealand is the same size as the British Isles, land-wise, yeah?
Okay.
Cool. So we have 4 million people in that land mass and 15 million sheep. The UK, they've got 66 million people same landmass.
Yeah, well, that's why you're able to not have a COVID outbreak and stuff, because you can control, and you probably still have a lot of beautiful countryside. And, you know, I don't know. I got a guy to visit New Zealand. And I'm a very big, I'm into fishing. It's fly fishing, and I know there's a lot of beautiful fishing in New Zealand. Yeah.
So when you come out and I'm back there, we'll go fly fishing.
Definitely a bucket list trip.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, by the way, I didn't even ask you, is this your first book?
Yes, that's my very first one. It's on its second edition and a UK bestseller. I'm in the process of writing the second book, which is a one on finance, because people in business don't know their numbers. So I'm trying to debunk the myths around numbers. Right.
I know. You know why? Because I think most business owners, most entrepreneurs are really right brain people. Right. They like to be creative. They want to do the marketing and I kind of feel that way too. They don't like dealing with their numbers. It just bores the heck out of them and they avoid it like the plague. And unfortunately, that's really the only way to take a temperature of your business. You can't do it with well, this marketing campaign is going great. Yeah, but you might have no cash flow. You don't even know if you're making money. So that's my thought about that.
You're so right. And as we say to our clients, they're doing a marketing campaign. Hey, tell me, what's your return on investment? And they look at me blankly. So I say to them, okay, let me make it simple for you. If I give you 10, if you give me £10 right. and I give you £12 back, how often are you going to do that marketing? And they go, oh, we'll do it all the time. Or sorry, dollars. And you're
well, so if the I, same thing, right?
Yeah, if I give you $10, you give me $10 and I only give you $8 back, how often are you going to do that marketing campaign?
Right, never.
And they go, we're not going, not very long. Good, you've got to know your numbers to see whether it's working so you can either continue with that marketing campaign or change your strategy, Mitch.
So how do you make, because this book, there's a lot of analogies in here. You use airplanes and things, isn't it? You know, make it interesting. How do you make a book about finance interesting? Because some of them are very drab.
Dry. Yeah. That's a really good question, Mitch. And what I'm doing is I'm telling stories again in it. All right. Again, the mistakes that I've made.
Right.
How can you actually change that? So it's the analogies I've done with my clients. And what you've said just now about clients not wanting to know their numbers. And it comes down to laziness as well, because they don't want to know them just in case they don't look good.
Right.
Well, like that's
their business,
crazy.
They don't want to know their business losing money. They might have to change what they're doing.
Yeah. So it's the same. Like, you know, yeah. If you've got your lovely wife, all right, and she's spending all your money and you don't want to know about it, then I'm sorry, but you're in the wrong, because you should actually be having meaningful dialogue with her to find out where that lovely dress has come from, or those shoes, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Okay. Have those courageous conversations about money, because if you don't, you're going to go down the drain. Because as you said before as well, Mitch, you know, you can be have a profitable business but go under, but if you've got great cash flow, then your business will be fine.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a very good advice for marriage, right? Because I know a lot of guys who tell me, you know, oh my God, my wife spends so much money and I don't know what to do about it, whatever. And we're struggling with the business. And then when they go home and they finally talk to their wife says, well, why didn't you tell me we weren't making that kind of money? I wouldn't have bought all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because she was under the impression that everything was fine, you know, because that's what he led her to believe. He didn't want her to worry about it. You take care of the kids. You have your job, you know, whatever. And I think we do each other a disservice when we're not honest about it, because you can deal with a lot of stuff together, but it's hard to deal with it when you've been dealing with it. Then you dump it on your partner. Say, listen, we got to leave tomorrow because our house is being foreclosed. I've been in these situations where I'm delivering a notice or I have to go see someone, and the tenant or the person is like, honey, we're being evicted today. She's like, evicted? Like, had no clue as to what was going on in their life because he was hiding it from her, didn't want to upset her. Well, he upset her more. I think they got divorced, actually.
Mitch, I love you. You're so right. And one of the stories I have in the book there is that Janelle and I have a three-day rule. Now, all the blokes who are listening to this will love this rule because it's for us.
It's a good rule, yeah.
All right, because the rule is, because, you know, woman, I'll tell you, no disrespect, ladies, but you can remember stuff from a year ago.
Oh, my God, yeah. A year ago? How about 10 years ago?
How can I argue against that? Because I can't even remember from 3 days ago.
So me neither.
Janelle and I have a rule.
Yeah.
If you need to bring something up, some issue, you must bring it up within 3 days.
That's a good rule.
Otherwise, it's forever gotten. You can never bring it up again.
It's all ashes after that.
Yes.
Yes. I love that rule.
Sometimes Janelle may say to me, Pete, you've annoyed me that much. Give me 2 hours before I can even talk to you.
Okay.
I know that I'm really in the doghouse. But we get stuff sorted within 3 days.
That's a very good rule. I mean, my wife's the same and our friends are the same. They could bring up things from 5 years ago and it's like it's happening to them right now. They're so upset. And you don't even remember what color underwear you put on Monday, and you're just trying to make it up as you go. What do? You can't even disagree. Yeah. You have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, well, if I did, I apologize. You know, I usually apologize at the beginning. Whatever it is, sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it, but you're right. I mean, that's not, look, when it comes to marriage, I think, and you and I are marriage counselors, but I think you got to fight fair. You know, you got to have a fair relationship. And a 3-day rule is fair because it recognizes that you shouldn't be walking around worried about things that might come up 6 months from now that you didn't realize. And it's also not healthy for her to walk around with stuff in her head for 6 months being upset about it, because it just festers.
Well, what actually happens, Mitch, is that, as you say, in 3 to 4 months' time, you say something innocuous and your partner just explodes.
Right, because it's all been building.
Yeah, where did that come from? I wasn't that bad what I said. But as you say, it's been building up over all this time. And that one little thing you said has just, the dam's burst.
Right, because the little thing didn't look in it from an objective standpoint as a big deal. But it added on to the pile that she's been
been it's building. Like weights. All right, you put a little weight on here. It's not much. Put a bit more weight on, or it gets a bit heavier, a little bit more weight, bit heavier, bit more weight, bang,
right.
It goes.
Yeah. That's a good rule. So Janelle's your second wife, right?
Yes, she is.
I guess you didn't have a 3-day rule with your first wife.
One of the learnings that I've learned to should have had the 3-day rule. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, do you have children from your first marriage, or they're all Janelle's kids?
No, I have 3 from my first marriage, biological, and Janelle has 3 from hers.
Okay.
But it's got to the stage we've been so long. Like, I don't even think about it now. I've just got 6 children and I treat them all equally.
So you have 3 children and 3 stepchildren, just like the Brady Bunch.
Okay.
Bunch, the dad has 3 kids, the mom had 3 kids, they got married, they had 6 kids.
Oh, okay.
But they're all adults now. You've raised them, you've been with them along, you know, their whole life.
Yeah, they're great kids.
So when you moved to UK, were they already adults? They didn't come with you.
Yeah, they've all left home, so they're doing their own thing.
Yeah. Okay, well, so you guys like being in London? What is Janelle working? You guys work together in your company in London?
Yes, we do. And I'll tell you what, the great thing about working together is that women just bring a totally different
perspective
to the business. Like, women have this amazing intuition that we blokes, or I certainly don't have. And I'll tell you, when we work together, Janelle might just sort of slip in and talk about something or bring something up during our masterminds or our leadership programs, which is just so appropriate. I'm thinking, where did that come from? I didn't think of that. And the perspective that we bring together is just huge when we're running our program. So I'm just in awe of what she does, and I'm just so blessed to have someone as good as what Janelle is.
That's great, because it's very hard for some people to be in business with their spouse.
Yeah, there is.
You definitely need a 3-day rule for that.
Yeah, and I know my place, which is down here, so I look up all the time.
All right, so are there some stories in the book you want to talk about? Or
here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and, most of all, help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000, that's LAW to 21000, to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
I like the 3-day rule. I told you I didn't get past page 65. So if there's stories in the book past page 65, I'd like to hear about.
Here's another one for you. Being our eldest, he was about 18, 19 at the time. And he had just got this new girlfriend, which he wanted to impress. And we were going away for the weekend, and he said, Dad, can I borrow the car, please? I want to really impress my date. And I said, yeah, no, I'm happy to do that on the proviso that you mow the lawns first. Would that be a deal?
Okay. Yeah. He was supposed to mow the lawns anyway?
Yeah, that's fair enough. So we come home from the long weekend to a very, very upset and angry young man. And he said, Dad, you didn't leave the car keys for me. My weekend's been ruined because of you. And I said, well, that's interesting, Ben, because I'm sure I tied the car keys to the lawnmower handle.
And he didn't even look.
Exactly right.
Well, that's training. You teach him next time he won't do that. Next time he'll go mow the lawns.
Because we had the deal. Mow the lawns, you can go and use the car.
Nice. I like that learning. Oh, I'm going to use that one for sure. With my, because I have kids. My oldest is 20. He's in the university in his third year.
Lovely.
And I have a daughter in high school. He's, you know what informatics is?
Yes.
Study of data systems. So he's at Indiana University studying informatics. I never heard of it till he got there. He said, Dad, I'm moving out of the business school and I'm going to study informatics. I go, I want to talk to your advisor. What the hell is that? Some crappy thing you're going to go. And, you know, so I talked to this guy. Says, no, it's the top one of the top five programs in the country. Yep. And it's an up and coming field. So I said, okay, good. That means I don't have to pay your bills forever. So whatever works, I'm good.
Nice.
So, and then I have two girls.
You've had
in high school,
daughter?
So. Yeah, two daughters.
You had a daughter as well?
Two daughters. One is a senior in high school. She's waiting on college. And the little one's a freshman. So two girls. So a boy and two girls. Oh, I didn't do six. I did three.
Yeah. Here's another story for you. And this relates to daughters. All right. And the thing is that we blokes are really protective of our daughters. And, you know, both Claire and Louisa have said to me, oh, you treat us so differently to what the boys are, Dad. And I'm going, yeah, so? Well, it's not fair. And I said, you're right. Of course it's not fair. You're my daughter. All right. I don't, respectfully when I say this, but I don't want some bloke doing to you what I might have been doing to some other bloke's daughter when I was younger.
That's unfortunately true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you were a teenager too, like all these other guys, you know.
Yeah. I said to them, you know, if you get into a difficult situation which you feel uncomfortable about, what I want you to do is take out your phone and give it to the bloke and say, please ring my dad. And if it's all right with my dad, then it'll all be all right with me. Right? Now, the thing is, two things have happened over this. I've never had a phone call from either daughter.
Right, I'm sure you have.
So either nothing's happened or they've been that wild that everything's gone with the blokes they've been with.
Right, it's possible.
But both of them have come to me in their later years and said, Dad, you know, that was just so helpful because it took the pressure off us that if we were in a difficult situation that didn't know how to handle it, we could just take our phone up and you know, you would be on the other end of the phone if we needed it. We could just say to the bloke, you know, you ring my dad.
Yeah, I mean, I hate it to sound like a double standard, but
it is.
I am more protective of my daughters than my 6'3", size 13-foot son. You know,
get over it, Mitch. Absolutely, it's double standards. And regardless of what our daughters say, we are men with daughters that want to protect and love them. And that's why that's a double standard.
Yeah. And I'm sure you're more than confident your daughters can handle themselves. And but, you know, you just know the other side of it. So, you know, there's a lack of trust.
And I think it's actually a respect thing for our woman because, you know, the woman, they actually nurture our children. They actually are the mothers of our children. They look after our homes and that. So we need to respect our woman. And it upsets me when I don't see this respect being shown to the woman.
Yeah.
Because it's so important, Mitch.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to sound chauvinistic, but if you look at everything in history, religion, things like it's all about suppression of women.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a real man's world.
I mean, if we had women running all the countries in the world, there wouldn't be any war. Women wouldn't go to war. They'd be like, why would we do that? We're just going to cry for a little while, feel better. We don't let our emotions out. We shoot each other.
Here's the scary thing. You know, New Zealand, we've got a woman prime minister. We've got a woman leader of the opposition. And we've got a woman governor general. Country's going really well. Go figure.
Yeah. See, there you go. Wasn't there a guy who was, I don't know if he was the prime minister or whatever, and he said some stupid things. Maybe that's Australia. I thought it was New Zealand. I don't know.
That happens to most male men in government, they say some stupid things.
Yeah, some.
I think you guys, in fairness, have had one bloke recently that's said some silly things.
I mean, you think so? I mean, look, we're intelligent thinking men. We would never go into politics. Somebody said that to me, like, well, why don't good people run for office? Why would a good person run? Why would you do that to yourself and your family? You know, yeah, there are some people that are good and ran for office, whatever, but half the time they regret it because they get embarrassed or, you know, stories come out about them that aren't even true or, I mean, it's just become so divisive in terms of the, in terms of the world, but it is what it is. I think a lot of the wars would have been subverted if they were avoided, if there were women more at the helm.
Absolutely.
Than men.
Absolutely. Again, it comes back to what I was saying before about that woman's intuition that we blokes don't have. It's that testosterone that clouds our judgment.
Whereas definitely clouds your judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Women have that ability.
So you do a lot of coaching. You do a lot of business mentoring. What kind of advice do you have for people? So this is, you know, the accidental entrepreneur. I hope my audience is full of entrepreneurs, people getting started in business, moving in business. What kind of advice do you have for people and thoughts in terms of, you know, how do they move forward in their business? Things that you've told other, worked with other people.
Sure. So quite simply, your first day at school, did you go into the classroom and know everything?
No.
No. Did you have a teacher up the front teaching you?
Yeah.
Of course you did.
Of course.
And that teacher or teachers were there for the next 10 to 12 years, teaching you and guiding you,
right,
giving you the advice, answering your questions. And then when you went to university or trade school, you had a professor at the front teaching and guiding you. At trade school, you had a person who had done it for years and years teaching you and guiding you. So why then, when you go into business, do you think you can do it yourself?
Right. Yeah, it's a good point.
All right. If you want to fast track your results, get a mentor. Now, I differentiate a mentor and a coach, and I believe that a coach will ask questions to elicit an answer. Okay. A mentor is someone who's actually been there and done it, right? So Janelle and I, we've had 21 years of making mistakes on the journey and running multiple businesses.
Right.
Like, we know the mistakes you're probably going to make. So we can fast track your journey. So instead of 21 years of my mistakes, we can actually fast track you to sort your business out in 3 to 4 years. And the thing is that it's not a silver bullet. It's not a quick fix solution. If you want a silver bullet, please go somewhere else because I'm not the right person for you.
Right.
Because Janelle and I, we will embed the 7 fundamental laws to have a successful business so that it doesn't have to work with you there. Because most people, A, want more money. B, they want the freedom to spend with friends and family. And having been in the police, having attended so many deaths, not one person said to me, oh, can you go and get my spreadsheet? I just want to see what my business is making today.
Right.
They actually go, tell them, get my friends, get my family around. That's what's important to them. And the reason we go into business, Mitch, is to have a vehicle that is going to give us the money and the freedom to have the type of life we want. But that will only happen if we actually get some guidance and mentorship, like we did when we went to school or university or to trade school.
Right. Well, I find that, and I'm a big proponent of business planning. It doesn't have to be a written business plan, but strategic something, because you're right. We go to school, you get, you know, you get back from the summer and you start school, you go to your class. What do? They give you a syllabus. They give you a track to run on. This is what the semester looks like. We're going to study U.S. history and European history. And by the middle, this will happen and we'll get, but we don't do that in business. We don't lay out. So we go each day is like we're just winging it. And that's where the whole concept of the accidental entrepreneur came from. People are starting businesses without mentors, without coaches, without a track to run on. And you can't know if you're off the track if you don't even know where the track is, right? So
brilliant.
I think that what you're doing is great. So you do a lot of individual coaching and you have, you said, Matt, excuse me, mastermind groups?
We don't do individual coaching anymore, okay? We do group coaching. Okay. And the reason we do that is we can affect more people and give them more opportunities being in a group with other like-minded business owners so that everyone gets the energy and picks themselves up, asks the questions so that others can hear and say, gee, well, that's that question that I've been wondering about as well. And we give each other the answer.
That's interesting, so because not a lot of people do that, Pete.
Correct. And also, really importantly, we run our CLS programs, Corporate Leadership Specialist programs, because I'm noticing in the world at present, and it may be a little bit different in the States, I'm not sure, but there's just a lack of leadership in our with our country and our counties and our businesses and right. individually. And we've got to get that leadership component so we can have effective businesses, Mitch.
Yeah. So that leadership is more like larger corporations, people in C-suite positions, or there are all kinds of different people that take that course?
Yes, pretty much. We're in the C-suite. But the thing is that if we see someone who's got a growth mindset, then we will mentor them because they are the absolute great client we know will make a difference with them because they want to learn. They want to get their leadership to that next stage, whatever their stage is. We'll guide them and take them there.
Okay. So looking back, like, how do you think, you know, you came out of, first you were a police officer, then you went into business. You didn't go to business school, right? You don't have an MBA or any of that type of stuff. You were self-taught, right? How did you have mentors along the way? How did you get to where you are now, where you're mentoring and teaching other businesses? How did that develop?
That's a great question, Mitch. And you're so right. As well as being in the police, I was in the New Zealand Army as well. So I've had the leadership training there in the police. I got to, you know, fairly high levels in both those. I've been a high-level referee. So there's that leadership, understanding how to deal with people. But the thing is that all the way through my policing, my army, my refereeing days in business, I've always had mentors, not one, but right. normally two or three, multiple. Depending on what I need. Right. And if I hadn't had mentors, I would not be where I am today.
Right.
Simple as that.
Right. Now, these people that you met, how'd you meet them throughout your life? They were from when you were young, people you grew up with?
No, not entirely. And again, I put things out into the universe. And the thing is that the universe hates a vacuum. So I'm pushing it out there and said, I need a mentor for, and it's amazing that in two or three days, someone comes into my life and they're just
like
the right
the secret, where they call that the law of attraction.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, great. You're onto it. Absolutely. Right. So I've sought out people. There's people who I really respect. And I've gone and say, hey, look, I just really respect what you're doing in business and what you're doing as a person. Would you please help me and mentor me?
Yeah.
And in response, please, can I give this to you, whatever it may be, what they may want?
Right, so right.
It's about giving back as well. And yeah, quite often people have said to me, please don't give me anything, but pay it forward.
Right. That's usually what Janelle and I do good that. People want to do. Absolutely.
Yes.
I think when I meet somebody who's young, they're coming out of trade school, they're coming out of graduate school, whatever, they're getting started. I think good advice is, look, seek out people in your industry that are successful. Now, maybe you can't reach, you know, Richard Branson, but you might be able to, you know, contact somebody at a little bit lower level and have coffee with one person a month. Ask them what made them successful. What kind of failures did they have? What have they learned? And one of them will become a mentor to you. Yeah. And I have mentors because of that reason. I would network with somebody. We kind of hit it off. So we would grab breakfast every couple of months and then stay in touch. And, you know, and it's a process. But I think you learn a lot. You push the envelope. Like you had said, people work with you. So instead of making mistakes for 25 years like you did, maybe they'll make it for 3 or 4 years and they'll, you know, push the success trajectory, I guess is the better word. But I think a lot of people, they miss that. They don't realize the resources they have with their network. They don't think they know anybody. They're like, I don't know how to network. Well, you probably know 200 or 300 people you're not even thinking about.
Yeah, great call. And I think the really important thing is, Mitch, have a look at your circle of influence. And what I mean by this, I will ask all my clients, hey, tell me, and no fudging it now, but the five people that you're closest to, are they actually helping you to achieve what you want? Because if you're surrounded by five people who have got a negative outlook on life, guess who's going to be number six?
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're surrounded by five people who aren't making the money that you want to make, guess who's going to be number six?
Yeah.
So start surrounding yourself with the people that are going to influence your life. And it may mean that you might have to get rid of one or two people in
your
life.
You might have to, but if they're dragging you down anyway, they're not helping you. They don't care Correct. About you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really care about people when you're just trying to bring them down. I know. Yeah. I've known people like that over the years. Maybe it's their own insecurities or whatever the reason is, but it doesn't serve you well. That's a tough thing for people, I think.
This is, I think what I'm finding in the UK here is that quite often people want to try and drag you down to their level.
Yeah.
Whereas I love the American, I love your culture. You celebrate success so incredibly well.
You think? I see a lot of people trying to drag you down too here.
Oh,
you don't see it as much? No?
No, I haven't. I like the culture, the American culture, because you want to celebrate the success. You look at your pioneering attitude. You know, you're one of the most successful countries in the world, and you only started a couple of hundred years or 400 years ago.
That's true.
And look what you've done. You've gone from the East Coast across the West Coast. You've pile driven in all those railway tracks. You've made these huge roads. You've put men on the moon. All right. Yeah. Good stuff, man.
Yeah. Well, we're a melting pot. That's why we brought all these people from all over the world and got them all together. And so let's make stuff.
Luckily, you had the Kiwis across there too, because that's what's made the difference for you.
That's for sure. That's what I was saying. There was a really good movie about New Zealand. It was kind of a rom-com movie, but it was this woman was an executive, very high, you know, very high stress job, and somehow she won a contest where she got an inn in New Zealand, and. She's like, I'm going to go over there and take a look at it. And cause she needed to get away. Life was just beating her up. I think she had a heart attack, something like that. So I'm going to move to New Zealand. So she picks up, takes all of her stuff, sells all of her possessions, has a couple of bags of stuff, goes to this town in New Zealand. If I can find the movie, I'll send you a link for it, and gets to this location. And it is, well, there was a reason that they were giving this away. Right. So it is just, you can't live in this building. I mean, there's sheep there. There's no plumbing. There's no electric. I don't think there were windows. It's just a shell of a building. And the whole movie's about how she, you know, stays there and develops her life there and meets people, falls in love, whatever, and rebuilds this whole inn and opens it again to become an inn. But I'll have to think of the name. I'll figure it out. When I get home, my wife will be like, she'll know it.
Yeah.
She found the movie. Yeah, exactly. But that's nice. Definitely New Zealand's on my bucket list. That and the Bourbon Trail in Kentucky. So.
Okay.
I like bourbon. Yeah. I'm a big bourbon guy.
So. Nice. No, we'll welcome you to New Zealand. You'll be fine.
If you're going to go back.
Here's the thing about it, okay? Not too many people know this, but in 5 years' time, 6 years' time, Janelle and I are heading back to New Zealand to build our new house, okay? But we're not flying home.
We're going to swim?
No, we're not going to swim either. We're going to drive overland in a 4x4. It's going to take us 10 to 12 months to drive home.
How can you do that? Isn't New Zealand an island?
Yes, it is. So
are there
what
bridges
it means,
that connect?
Yeah, well, not quite. We're going to have to take a boat, all right, between Malaysia.
Take a ferry, okay.
Yeah, and between Malaysia and Australia, and then Australia and New Zealand. But apart from that, there's about 20 or 30 countries that we can cruise through until we get down to Malaysia. And it's just, this is the thing that Janelle and I do. We think, hey, it's a little bit different, but it's something we want to do. What if? You know, we don't want to go back to New Zealand. Oh, what if we'd done that? It would have been so good. So
it's always what we regret, things we didn't do. What is that? Eat, Pray, Love? Was that the book where she just traveled the world? And
Yeah.
So, but aren't there countries that you got to go through that are not the safest countries in the world?
That's true, Mitch. But let me ask you, how many people died on the road in the USA today with road accidents?
I don't know. Well, there's more people in the United States, but
the same.
You might hit an IED or something, you know?
Yeah, the same with the UK. Lots of people have died on the roads today. Lots of people have died with cancer. If you have that, no disrespect when I say this, but if you have that attitude, you don't get anywhere.
No, it's a good point.
You just got to get out and do it.
Good point. Just do it.
Yeah.
So you'd have to go through Eastern Europe. You have to go through some of, I guess, the Middle East, right? And then down, you work your way down to Malaysia? Yeah.
Afghanistan, Pakistan, Indiastan, Russiastan, all the stans.
Yeah. Tell Stan I said hi.
Yeah,
exactly. So, that's, that sounds incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible trip.
Yeah, something to do. Something
to do. It's definitely something to do. You might be living in your car some of the nights. I don't know.
Oh, no, we're gonna build a big 4x4 van, which we will sleep in with, you know, all the
stuff. Almost like an RV, but a smaller vehicle.
Correct.
Like a Sprinter van. You're gonna equip
it. In Pakistan, they and India, they've got some huge passes there that you've got to get over. And the thing is that at our stage in life, instead of backpacking with, you know, hardly anything like we did in our 20s,
right,
we're actually going to have a little bit more comfort, Mitch, because we can.
I don't know if I would be so comfortable driving through Afghanistan as the sun's going down, knowing that I have to pull over and stay in my van, hoping that nobody comes up to the truck and says, open up the door, but he won't be saying it in English.
Yeah.
I think I watched too many of those shows, you know, Homeland and stuff.
What's going to happen with us, it's the same in business, is you mitigate the risks as much as possible. Like, we're not going to just be silly and drive anywhere we want.
Right.
Like in business, let's mitigate the risks so we're going to make a profit. We're going to have cash flow. Mitigate the risks by taking the right roads, doing the all the research beforehand to know where to go.
Yeah, the main highways and not off the beaten path and
absolutely
stuff. That's exciting. It's an exciting trip. So if people want to interact with you, if they want to get in touch with you, if they want to learn about what you do for people, how do they do that?
Really simple. There's a new app out, and it's called FlowPage.
FlowPage? You didn't tell me about this.
FlowPage.
Flow.page?
Yes.
Okay.
So flow.page/ Pete O'Keefe. And O'Keefe is spelled the Irish way. O-K, two E's, two F's. And another E. Okay.
Right. It's right behind you too, so they can see it. Yeah.
There you go. You got it.
Okay. So what is FlowPage?
So FlowPage.
Like WhatsApp?
Yeah. No, it's just it's an app. It is an app, but it has your Facebook, your LinkedIn, has your profile.
It's like Linktree. Have you seen Linktree?
Same thing, yes.
Okay, very good. So we'll put that in the show notes and then people can go right there.
Yeah.
And they connect with you all over the world.
And I think especially if you've got a question, Mitch, that you are scared to ask someone, please come and chat with Janelle and I, because there's no judgments. Because I can guarantee the mistake or the learning you want to know, I've already made the mistake on it, so I can actually help you. So we don't judge, because we know how important it is to be able to ask those questions that you're sometimes too scared to ask because you think, I might be silly.
That's a nice
Until you ask the question.
Yeah.
You can't learn.
That's a nice offer.
Please.
Okay.
Give us a run.
And also, by the way, I have 4 extra copies. I'm not giving up my copy, but I got 4 extra copies of your book. And if anybody's listening, if they want to drop me an email, they can Venmo me the money for the shipping and I'll ship them the book. $5 will cover it. I'll cover the difference. And they can get a hold of your book. And if I could see you, you can give me an autograph, but you're on the other side of the world. So.
Well, put it this way, Janelle and I are coming across to the US this year.
Okay.
We've done part of Route 66 on our motorbike years ago.
Nice.
Harley Davidson.
Yeah.
We're going to come back to the States. So be careful with what you wish for, because we just might turn up on your doorstep.
That would be great.
And if you're going to get an autograph, then we're going to expect to have a beer or at least a coffee with you, sir.
We got them all. Beer, coffee, bourbon, wine.
Maybe push the boat some more. We want a beer as well.
Absolutely. Well, Pete, I thank you for taking time on a Friday. Well, it's evening for you. It's late, right? Over there, 10 o'clock?
No. It's only 20 past 9.
Okay, so it's 4:20 here. So I wish you a very happy, nice weekend, and I'm sure we'll see each other at another event next week.
Mitch, I want to thank you as well. It's been an absolute honor and a privilege to be on your podcast, and thank you for inviting me. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks, Pete. Good seeing you.
Take care. Bye.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.